I'd like to thank you for choosing to seek the good Lord in the year of our Lord 2021. Very thankful for your interest in what he's up to and has to say to us in these very troubling times. I did create an outline, if you want to print it out from the website there. And we will be meeting out at Kalita at 9:30 on Sunday, and I'll be doing this message then. And we will participate in all of the guidelines that the CDC recommends. We're in a study of the book of Acts, and our intent is life in the Spirit. Endeavoring to discover this experience of the Holy Spirit that they had in this book of Acts. So this message is for January 10th of 2021. It's entitled Paul in Corinth, Take 2. And we'll cover Acts chapter 18, verses 9 through 17. So the outline, Paul in Corinth, number 2. Number 1, the promise of the Savior. Number 2, the Savior's presence with us. Number 3, our Savior can save us from fear. So, number 1, the promise of our Savior. 2, the Savior's present with us. And 3, the Savior can save us from fear. I often feel alone and isolated in this COVID-19 world that we live in. Do you experience this also? March 11th, I had an experience with the Lord where he encouraged me to spend some time at home until they came up with a solution for this virus. So what if this time alone and this time in isolation and this time of challenge, what if the Holy Spirit wrote this scripture for us today to encourage us? Could it possibly be that the scripture we're looking at could encourage us in our times today? In my research, I found this in William Barclay's book, The Acts of the Apostles. He said this, quote, "Just when Paul needed it, God spoke to him. God spoke to him often. Paul may have been discouraged or daunted by the task that faced him in Corinth. Paul was a man of intense emotions, and often he must have had times of emotional reaction. But when God gave us the task to do, he also gives us the power to do it. In the presence of God, Paul found his courage and his strength." That's the end of that quote. So he started out with just when, and I think that's the key to what he was trying to say. That's the key for us to see there. That's the key we need to believe and trust for in the year of our Lord 2021. Just when Paul needed it, God showed up. Here's the truth. God exists in a constant, ever-present now. Where he is always now. There is no past. There is no future, it's just now, all the time. And everything is like a great complex orchestra. And each individual and their instrument come in at the correct time because they follow the lead of the director. So God is orchestrating. He is directing an incredible symphony that is very complex. And where he is in the present, that's not difficult or stressful for him. You see, us human beings, we are sinful. Therefore, many of us think God should give them what they need before they need it. I'm sure you've heard people say that. Well, if God provides this, then I'll do that. Or when God gives me this, then I'll do that. But the truth is, that's not the way it works. You go do this or you go do that, and as you're doing it, as you step out in faith, just when you need it, God will supply. And that's the miracle of walking in God's life. So why is it so many people think they need something before they start? Why is that? Well, obviously, so they don't worry, right? If God gives me this ahead of time, then I won't have to worry about it and I'll be just fine. But the truth is, they want it ahead of time so they don't have to trust God in the moment. Trusting, believing, faith, that's the whole thing of Christian life. And when you get it beforehand, well, then you don't have to trust him. But when you're in the middle of it and he spontaneously provides, oh, that's a lot of fun. My Bible study had these thoughts on this scripture, and I thought they were pretty good. In a vision, Christ told Paul that he had many of his people in Corinth. Sometimes we can feel alone or isolated spiritually when we see wickedness all around us and when we are persecuted for the faith we have. Usually, however, there are others in the neighborhood or the community of faith who follow Christ, and so we could ask God to lead us to them. The end. So the point is for us to be in fellowship and encourage one another. Our scripture for the day is Acts 18, verse 9 through 17. And I'm going to try to read that for you. Here it goes. One night the master spoke to Paul in a dream. Keep it up, and don't let anyone intimidate or silence you. No matter what happens, I'm with you, and no one is going to be able to hurt you. You have no idea how many people I have on my side in this city. Well, that was all Paul needed to stick it out. He stayed another year and a half, faithfully teaching the word of God to the Corinthians. But when Gallio was governor and Aquila in the Aquila province, the Jews got up a campaign against Paul and hauled him into court and filed charges. This man is seducing the people into acts of worship that are illegal. Just about the time Paul was ready to defend himself, Gallio interrupted and said to the Jews, "If this is a matter of criminal conduct, I would gladly hear it out. But it sounds to me like it's just one more of those silly Jewish squabbles, another of your endless hair-splitting quarrels over religion. Take care of it on your own time. I can't be bothered with this nonsense." And he cleared them out of his courtroom. Now the streets rabble turned on Sophronius and the new meeting place president and beat him up in plain sight of the court. Gallio didn't raise a finger. He could have cared less. That's the end. So I can't pronounce that judge's name correctly, but I like the guy. And I pray God would raise up men and women like him in our day. We could sure use some judges who had some common sense and didn't waste time on nonsense. Paul in Corinth. Point number one, the promise of our Savior. The Bible has many promises one may claim. The catch-22 is one must do this with 100% faith. So there are many promises in the Bible that anyone could claim, but in order to claim them, you have to be 100% sold out by faith. And what is the catch-22? Do you know what catch-22 is? During World War II, the Allies were based in Great Britain and were doing massive aerial bombardments of the German defenses and on their industry, trying to cripple the German Empire. Well, the thing was, those missions over Germany and the bombers were extraordinarily dangerous. So they set up a standard that if you flew 22 missions, you could go home and be done. But the catch was, nobody made it. There wasn't anybody who flew 22 missions without being shot down or killed or captured. It was that terrible for our Air Force. The catch-22 with faith is it's got to be 100%. You can't fiddle diddle around with it. A on your outline, the Holy Spirit promises to be with and in believers. Jesus said, "I am with you Not one will attack you or harm you. In 2 Corinthians 1:20, God has made a great many promises. They are all yes because of what Christ has done. So through Christ, we say amen. God wants us to receive and give him glory. The end. So these many promises God says yes to because of what Christ Jesus has done on the cross. 2 Peter 1:4 has similar. So Peter wrote, he also has given us a great many valuable promises. He did it so you would share in his nature. He also did it so you could escape from the evil in the world, the evil that caused by sinful longings. The end. So what Peter wrote is, God gave you those promises, and he did it so that you could share in Christ Jesus's very nature. When you receive his nature, you receive the promises. In 1987, the tagline of that year for me was, because of Jesus. Whenever I closed a conversation or a letter or an email or a phone call, I would always close it with, because of Jesus. Now in 2021, my new tagline is, for our King and his kingdom. That is how I'm going to close all of my conversations. For our King and his kingdom. Because of what Jesus lived and did, there is an opportunity for us to be adopted into his identity. We can become adopted children of God and receive the very nature, the very spirit Jesus had, the Holy Spirit. So here's truth. That was what Jesus promised his disciples then. This is what Jesus promises his disciples in 2021. So the same promises Jesus made to the disciples back then, he makes to us in 2021 if we become his disciples. Be on your outline. Jesus promises to be with us. Jesus promises to be with us, and underline promises. Here's a truth. God promises not just to be with us, but to become us. It's not just that the Holy Spirit comes to us, is around us, or in us, but when he does that, he transforms us so we become like him. We are one with Jesus. Matthew 28:20, Jesus said this, you can be sure that I am with you to the very end of the age, the end. Then Jesus left. He floated up into a cloud into heaven. His parting words were, you can be sure that I'm always with you to the very end. When Jesus left, he said he's coming back soon. And it looks like we may be living in that soon. What would it be like when Jesus comes back? What would you like Jesus to find you doing when he comes back? Let's say he came back this afternoon. What is the best thing you could be doing when he finds you? Maybe, just maybe, we should be doing what he told us to be doing. So point number two on your outline, the Savior's presence with us. People often ask, what is that like, the Savior's presence with you? When I have told people of my experiences last week after those 360 thrills, I've been asked several times, what did the Holy Spirit sound like? Well, that is at least very difficult, if not impossible, to explain and to express to you. And normally, I'm not afraid of difficult or impossible, so let's give it a shot. A on our outline. What is it like to experience the presence of the Holy Spirit? What is it like to experience the presence of the Holy Spirit? And underline your word experience. In the Bible, that's a good place for us to start when we look at this. What was the first thing God wanted us to know about this experience? Well, God wants very, very much to experience this with us, love and intimacy and communion with us. From the very first words in the Bible, he wanted to make it clear. This is what he wants, and he wants it very much. He wants to experience love, intimacy, communion with you, with me, with us. God came every day at an appointed time, and he walked around with Adam and Eve. God and Adam had two-way conversations. Do you know what it means to be online with somebody? I saw the other day that the average American spends 7 hours a day online. Wow. Jesus lived his whole life online with his Father and the Holy Spirit. It's really not much different. You go online with God and you have this interaction with him that's invisible. You go online and you walk in his Spirit. You see, Adam was a human being. Jesus was a human being. So if these two men could do this, why can't we? I would guess that Jesus lived at least 99% of his life as a spiritual experience with his Father. Jesus had several, we'll say 1% of his experiences were physical experiences, where God used a dove, the other time he did thunder, one time he used a loud voice, and there are more. Jesus would tell the people that that was for their benefit, not his. Be on your outline. God will use a dream, a vision, printed text, an impression in one's mind. So God will use a dream, underline that, a vision, underline that, printed text, underline that, and an expression, underline that, into your mind. Last Wednesday was a simple impression of one thought in my mind. You see, God's call on my life to be your pastor was an internal question and answer conversation in my mind. I was leading a Bible study in the upper room at Victorious Christian Living, and in the midst of being the leader of that Bible study and carrying on conversations and directing things and organizing and asking questions, I was having a conversation in my head with God. Fortunately, it was pretty short. He said, "Can I use you there?" And I said, "Well, God, you can use anybody or anything. I mean, that's clear. Do you love them?" And I said, "Well, heck, I don't know. I'm helping them. I'm filling their pulpit for them while they look for a preacher boy. I don't know whether I love them or not." So you see, God's calling me to be the director in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, was me leaning on a counter watching a movie clip in my mind of The Patriot. That was how God spoke to me about taking that job. My very first calling to me and be the director of discipleship with Victorious Christian Living was an audible voice in my mind or my spirit, I'm not sure, in a prayer meeting. I was in a prayer meeting and they were looking for a man to be the director of that ministry. And there were some extremely qualified and gifted men sitting around this large circle, we'll say 16. And in my prayer time, I would say, "Lord, that guy would be a good guy. Ooh, Lord, that guy's got great gifts." Went all the way around the circle and the Lord didn't say anything. And then I heard this passage from Isaiah in my head, straight out of the Bible, a challenge to my life. That was the first time. Isaiah 6:8. God said, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord. He said, 'Who will I send? Who will go for us?' I said, 'Here am I, send me.'" And amazingly, as soon as I prayed that prayer of faith to God, "Here I am, save me, send me," in my mind, the leader of the group with a rousing voice yelled, "Amen." And everybody got up. Now, no one knew who was supposed to be the director. But I did. God spoke to me. And so the point is, I could go on and tell you other ones, but what I'm trying to communicate to you is this. No two times have been the same in my life. They're always different. Why is that? Well, because God is creative. God is not religious and does the same thing the same way. He's a creative God. He can do things in a multitude of ways. He doesn't have to do it the same way every time. So your point number three on your outline, our Savior can save us from fear. And I could have wrote the whole message on this one point. Our Savior can save us from fear. Last Sunday, we were doing a small group study on the 10th of June. And the book we are studying is We Are the Church, Let's Act Like It. And it had a really good section of questions. And here's a sidebar note for you for 2021. Our pattern for 2021 is this. We will do one event after worship and fellowship time. It'll be a board meeting one week, or it'll be a small group another week, but we won't do two of them. And I will put the lesson plan in the bulletin for the small group. So every month, the second Sunday of the month, we have board meeting. So we're not having a small group then, but the other Sundays we will. So come prepared. If there isn't a board meeting, we're doing small group. Now then, our society is somewhat obsessed with success, our book said, and failure. What does it mean to fail? Why do you seem to fear failure? Those seem like really good questions. What could be some of the negative ramifications of our fear of failure? The end. So, as we looked at those questions, it was obvious that our society is obsessed with success and failure. And they have created a standard for a church that's successful. They have it's considered a standard for a person's life when they are living successfully or failing. But that doesn't mean it's God's standard. It's just theirs. So what does it mean to fail? And why do we seem to fear it? And what could be the ramifications of it? What's the first thing you think of with those questions? Here's what I think and believe. Success for us is a small group of highly trained and motivated servants for the kingdom and the king. A small group of highly trained and motivated servants for the king and his kingdom. That's success for us. Not a great big body of cluster, but it's a small group of highly trained individuals to go and do the service for our King and his kingdom. For example, Jesus had 12 in his small group. Paul had 7 in his small group. It's a team, not a herd. See, in many churches, they try to get a big herd of cattle. And that's really awkward to move them and awkward to motivate them. It's a lot easier with a small group to motivate people and direct people. It's too bad that the A-team had already been taken by other people on television. I would have liked to play Murdoch, and I think I could have done a good job at Murdoch. Anyway, back to our outline. A. The Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. The Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. So underline spoke. God spoke. And he said, don't be afraid. This is not the first time Jesus had said to his followers and his disciples, don't be afraid. In the Matthew 14:25, early in the morning, Jesus went out to the disciples. He walked on the lake. Really? Do you really see Jesus being able to walk on top of the water without a boat and a ski rope pulling him? He just walked across the top of the water. He really did that. Now, verse 26, they saw him walking on the lake and they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said. And they cried out in their fear. Right away, Jesus called out to them, be brave. It is I. Don't be afraid. Lord, is it you? Peter asked. If it is, tell me to come out to you and walk on the water. Come. Jesus said. So Peter got out of the boat and walked across to the top of the water towards Jesus. But when Peter saw the wind, he was afraid and he began to sink. He cried out, Lord, save me. Right away, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. Your faith is so small, he said. Why did you doubt me? That's the end. What an incredible experience. What an amazing testimony of the kind of faith Jesus expects us to have. 100% bought in. Peter started out really well that morning, but then he took his eyes off Jesus and he looked around at what was going around him. That was not one of Peter's best ideas for that day. Now, let's be honest with yourself. How much of your day are you focused on what is going on around you and you? And how much of your day is focused on looking at or for Jesus? Honestly, how much of your day is focused on you and what's going on around you? I would say that's probably the majority. And how much of your day is focused on looking for Jesus and looking at Jesus? I would say that's probably a smaller percentage in many of our lives. Be on the outline. God does not want his children to live in fear. God does not want his children to live in fear. And your blanks are, does not. The Bible tells us that the children of God are to live at peace, a state of calm. The Bible tells us that the children of Satan live in fear. So did you catch that? The children of God live in a constant state of peace. The children who are following Satan are worried, scared, and frazzled. Where do you live? Some of the most powerful and influential and rich people we know lived in a constant state of fear. For example, Joseph Stalin of Russia had over 13 bedrooms, and he never slept in the same bedroom twice. He was terrified to go to bed. Howard Hughes was a California billionaire, and he locked up in seclusion, and when he died, he had a beard long enough he could step on it, and his fingernails were curled around like talons. John Lennon of the Beatles lived in constant fear. He could never sleep in a room with the lights off. He always had to have the lights on because he was terrified. Now Jesus, on contrast, he lived in an ever-present state of peace. Jesus did not live in a time that was peaceful around him, and you know that's true from reading the Bible, but Jesus lived in an ever-present state of peace, even though the world around him was a mess. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He is the King of Peace. And our year 2021 is for our King and for his kingdom. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we reach out to you in prayer and in love and in deep thankfulness for your Son and his amazing life and gift unto us. Humbly we bow before you as we seek your Spirit. There's nothing we can do other than say, Lord, visit us with your Spirit because of our love for you and our love for Jesus. And you guys loved us a lot longer and a lot more than we love each other and you. We just praise you and thank you for the hope in Jesus Christ.
Voices could not express my gratitude, all that I am and ever hope to be.
Let it be pleasing.